You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome, everybody, to Urban Embodiment Presents You Eat Talk episode...
Wait for it.
Seven! I am Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple, and I am here with the bodacious businesswoman, the extreme entrepreneur, the peanut butter to my jelly, Lakeisha Coakley. How are you doing, Lakeisha?
I want to say more like bread to your peanut butter, but it's all good. I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Oh, you're just the top of everything. You're just the top, huh?
Dude, these intros, I keep waiting for Apollo Creed.
So, Keish.
Yes.
It's been a minute. How have you been this week, man? What's been going on?
I've been pretty good. I had a swell 4-day weekend. Hung out with a lot of people that I love and care about, and I really, really enjoyed myself. How about you? I see you was caking this weekend. So what was going on with that?
Why you want to bring up my Valentine's Day? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the world, what they doing to singles dating stuff, man. Okay, fine. Yes, I had a wonderful... I had a wonderful Valentine's, you know. Boo, if you're listening, I love you. Now turn it off because I'm about to get full-fledged. So turn it off right now. You don't want to watch anymore. But anyway, enough about that. Yes. Lakeisha, speaking of Valentine's, what we got coming up?
This Saturday in Okemos, Michigan, we're doing Friday speed dating. That is at Henry's Place, 4926 Marsh Road. Seats for ladies is $20, and fellas, you actually get a deal. Your seat is $15, and that includes a complimentary drink.
A complimentary drink?
Yes.
What can I drink? What type of drink?
A drink. A
mixed drink. Just whatever?
Whatever you order from the bar.
All right. Well, yes. It's funny you said that, because we're going to have Henry Kwok call in, the owner of Henry's Place and the Asian buffet next door.
Yes.
He actually called in already, but the show hadn't started yet.
Right.
So he called in too early.
So he'll probably be calling like 2.2
seconds. I hope so. We're at the end of the show, then gonna say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Whip. I didn't." Yeah, exactly. Yes. But before we talk to him,
okay,
because we got some great guests in here tonight.
Yes, we do. We got a full house tonight.
Yeah, we got a full house. But right now, it's time for my favorite segment. Talk to him. Wait, it didn't do it. Hold on. I've been waiting all day for this. Wait a minute. Okay, here we go. Sorry, guys.
Cue the music.
One more time.
The drink.
Yes! And it's time for the drink of the night. And tonight, Lakeisha, what do we have?
We have a bottle of wine. This is Bellini Sparkling Moscato Rosé. It's a sweet wine, so pour up.
Yes.
And today is National Wine Drinking Day.
And that's why we're drinking wine. It is National Wine Drinking Day. And you're wondering where we got it from. From my favorite place.
Aldi's.
Listen, we've been doing this.
To not pay us for that spot.
We've been doing this for 7 weeks. You got to let the beat build. Then I go, okay, fine. Yes, we're going to pass the
rub.
And if you're watching, you probably see this eclectic young man over here to the side. He just talked on the mic. But if you're listening, I'm going to let him introduce himself. But if you're wondering what type of show we got going on tonight, it is called Over 50 and Fly. Because these little youngins, them little millennials, think they the only ones that been partying, enjoying life. You know what I'm saying? They think we don't know nothing. So today, we going to show them that age ain't nothing but a number going down.
Yes, there's a lot of wisdom in the room.
Yeah, dig.
Yes.
So, first off to my right, I'm going to let you just introduce yourself, sir. Go ahead and talk to him.
Well, my name is Dr. Peter Grain. I'm a neurosurgeon extraordinaire, but I like music, and I like to rap. And so I'm known around the Detroit city as the Rapping Dr. Suave Brain.
Woo!
The age ain't nothing but a number.
We're going to talk about that. Oh, we're going to – sorry. Let me turn that sound down. Let me make sure I turn that down. There we go. Sorry. I get it now. See, that's how it works.
That's who I am.
I got you now. Now, next to me, who do I have?
Oh, I am Deborah Bowman. I am the president of DB Security Incorporated. I also work for the state of Michigan as the eligibility specialist, and I am a consultant for Legal Shield.
And next to her, who do we have with this young lady right here?
You have Yvonne Perry. I work for an insurance company. Been doing it for 30 years.
She said I couldn't ring the bell on her, so I had to do that just because she was talking before the show started.
I'm going to take that bell. You can ring my bell.
Don't. Anyway. Baby, we trying to make you fly. Don't talk about the songs from back in 43 or something. I'm messing with you. I love you, Yvonne. YP.
YP. But I'm also an entrepreneur. I've done several businesses, and currently I'm working with a group called the Abacus, and it's to bring financial generational wealth to the African-American community. And so if anyone's interested, please reach out.
And who else do we have next to her?
Oh, my name is Lynch Travis. I'm a professional actor, director, teacher, that kind of thing. I love the theater. I've been in a few movies, television shows, that kind of thing. I teach actors. That's how I met Whip over at a place around the corner. Yeah.
Can we say the name these days or no?
I don't know, man. That's up to you.
Oh, I don't have a problem. Oh,
it was at the Michigan Actors Studio.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what your connection with them still was.
Hey, we still good. We still good.
Okay, cool, cool.
I'm not
cool.
working there currently.
We got to talk after the show, man.
Oh, that's all good.
No, I'm a superior actor.
Well,
and
good.
I need your service. You
good.
Oh, that's what this show is all about. You see that man talking right there?
No, we already hooking up.
All right. You got it.
Keisha, I know you want to talk to these people. Talk to them a little bit, man.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, so today we're going to talk about being, help me out here.
Over 50.
Yes, being over 50.
And fly just, and dope.
Yes.
And rad, or whatever you want to call it.
And just being wonderful. So I'm going to start over here with the doc. So doc, how long you've been a neurosurgeon?
I completed my neurosurgical residency in 1988, so we're going on 32 years now of practicing neurosurgery. I'm a practicing neurosurgeon.
We got a call real quick.
Calling in.
We got a call.
Checking in. This is Whip with Lakeisha at UE Talk. Who are we talking to?
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Who is this?
This is Henry.
See, I had to pretend like I didn't know who was calling in. That's why I had to pull it back. Hi, Henry Kwok. Hey. How are you?
Hello.
I am doing well. This is the owner of Henry's Place that we're going to be at this Saturday for Find a Bay Speed Dating.
And I got the address right tonight.
So be happy for us. We got the address right, man. So, Henry, real quick, man, let people know about Henry's Place if they don't know about it that's not in the mid-Michigan area.
Sure. Well, Henry's Place is a neighborhood bar that's been open about 4 years. We specialize in craft cocktails, craft beers, scratch kitchen. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is we have a private banquet room. That's where the speed dating is going to occur. And that's a really nice room to have.
I got a question for you, Henry. What does craft cocktail mean? What craft cocktails?
Craft cocktail is just something, you know, the bartenders take a lot of time and pride to make rather than just, you know, put together a Jack and Coke.
Mm.
You know, they put their talent and skills and all the ingredients. Some of the ingredients are handmade, like the simple syrup is handmade, the lime juice is quality. So it's not just your run-of-the-mill ingredients.
So they don't go off of menus. They make their own menus of cocktails. Yeah. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now, Henry, you also own the Asian buffet next door, correct? You and your wife.
Oh, yeah. My parents started about 20 years ago, so it's been open 21 years. Okay. And it's been a steady staple in the area.
Now, real quick, Henry, I wanted to see if you could talk about this for a quick second. You made a post. It was referring to what's going on right now with Chinese restaurants and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel free? Do you feel comfortable talking about that right quick, your post?
So people know. Yeah,
no problem. So if you want to just let people know about, go ahead. You do your thing.
No, go ahead. Ask the question.
Oh, no, I just want to tell people because I know people are questioning, can they go to a Chinese restaurant right now with the coronavirus and all? You know, the news gets people all scared and worked up. So tell them that they're safe and what you want to say about that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the coronavirus is it's pretty much contained in the area. So people think about it's a Chinese restaurant, Chinese workers working in a Chinese restaurant, and people feel it's a danger to eating it, and that's sort of a false pretense. I mean, most of the people that work for me, they haven't gone back to China in many, many years. So it's just the fear of being in one with Chinese people. That's sort of the problem right now. People are thinking of, and I assure you, you know, there's no problem in the Mid-Michigan area. If there was, you know, we would have all sorts of alerts and containments of such.
For sure, for sure.
Well, in support of you, since I'm a physician.
Because we do got Dr. Grain here. Right. Talk to him.
Well, I can tell you that as the United States has isolated itself from this virus. So this whole business of, and it's going on all over the country in all Chinatowns throughout the nation. People are avoiding Chinese restaurants out of inappropriate fear. The United States has completely isolated itself from this virus. We have protocols in place such that all Chinese nationals who try to enter this country have to go into quarantine. So there is no problem going to a Chinese restaurant anywhere in the United States of America.
So y'all heard that. You are safe. Make sure you go to Asian Buffet. But, you know, real quick, Henry, because we do got to move forward with our show, just let them know. I want to let them know why, if anybody wants to use Henry's Place for an event, why they should.
Yeah, I mean, the space is essentially our overflow room. So it's very nice to have, especially if people are wanting to do like a birthday party or a company party. You know, we don't charge anything for the room, and, you know, they could decorate it however they want. So there's a lot of freedom to what they can, you know, how they can use the room. And so, I mean, in the area, I don't think there's not enough those kind of spaces. So I feel like it's a really nice addition to the area.
For sure, for sure. Well, Henry Kwok, thank you again from Urban Embodiment for letting us do Find a Base Speed Dating this Saturday. So make sure you come out once again. You're going to get a complimentary drink. So we got some amazing ladies, some handsome, I had to say it, fellas, I know, but I had to say it. I don't care. Just make sure you come to Find a Base Speed Dating this week at Henry's Place, 4926 Marsh Road in Okemos, Michigan. Henry, take care, and we will see you Saturday, sir.
See you, Henry.
Bye, guys. Take care.
All right. Now back to Dr. Grain. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, Dr. Grain.
I was born and raised, born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, lived in Hollis, Queens, most of my young life, left in at age 22 in 1974. I came from a family where my mother knew what time it was. She knew how to be successful in America, insisted on academics, forced me to do my homework.
Amen.
And as a result, I ultimately got a bachelor's of science from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the number one university in the world. I graduated from Stuyvesant High School, the number one high school in America.
Bedford Stuyvesant, the livest one.
Well, Biggie. No. Stuyvesant High School is Peter Stuyvesant.
Oh, okay. I want to shout out Big.
I was born in Bed-Stuy. I spent my first year and a half in Bed-Stuy, but Peter Stuyvesant was a little bit different.
Suave Brain, don't worry, because we're going to touch base on your upbringing in Hollis, Queens, and your connection to Run DMC.
Yes, there is a connection in that he lived a block and a half from where I grew up. Yeah, he was maybe only a youngling when I was a teenager, but in fact, he was right down the street.
Oh, we're going to touch on that. But let's slide over here right quick. Who else we got to the left of me? Yes, to let them know about you, girl. Talk about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, on the east side.
Say what? Whereabouts? Whereabouts on the east side?
St. Clair and Warren.
Ooh, you was real East Side.
Soy.
That was like right next to Mac and B-Wick. You understand what I'm talking about?
I understand.
Full-fledged. You know, throw them E's up.
People came from that area, and we elevated ourselves to Eastern Michigan University, where I graduated with a bachelor's in social work on the dean's list, I might add. Okay.
So.
Whoa.
Right now, I just want y'all to know, y'all heard it. We
from
two for two.
From the East Side, okay?
From the East Side, from Hollis, Queens, two for two. Don't tell us black people ain't out here doing big things. You understand what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
So y'all heard that. Next up, who do we have?
We have Yvonne. Wow. I was...
Now, you better make it three for three.
Okay. Three for three. What? Oh, so...
You better be a boss, too.
Well...
She's a boss.
I was born in Lincoln Park, Michigan. My family is from... Majority is from River Rouge, Ecorse. So I'm Southwest Detroit. I grew up in Detroit, went to Redford High School. You walk and keep the Meyer jokes because Redford was number one, two, or three, depending on the year when I graduated.
Hey, all I'm saying, 10 for 10 at Meyer. Right now, I'm going after I leave. 10 for 10.
That's okay. Go over to the library section. Okay. You'll be good.
You dig.
I have a double major in my undergrad is human resources and labor relations. I have a master's in computer information systems, software management. And I have a post-baccalaureate in medical biotechnology in human resources. I'm in, health information systems. My mind is gone.
No, don't tell them your mind is gone. We're trying to push the over 50 and fly. Don't act like you're forgetting stuff.
That's because my mind, I have so many things going on coming in. I have people asking me about the investments and what do I do and how do I do it. And I have to call you when I get done with this podcast. But you better tune in. So
Nice. Everybody
better tune in. So yeah, everything is good. I'm a busy,
okay,
busy person.
And next up, who we got on the end over there?
Well, this is Lynch again. I'm a native of Chicago. I grew up in West Englewood. Some of y'all might have heard of that.
I have.
Yeah. And I'm like the doc over here. My mother was an educator. She was a teacher. My dad was a letter carrier. My dad was a
former. My dad was a letter carrier as well.
All right. See, we hitting it.
Okay.
My dad was had been a professional athlete. He was a professional boxer.
Mm.
But his thing was that y'all got to go to school. That kind of thing. So, the homework. If I didn't have no homework, I had to do the timetables to 12 before I could get out the house.
You the man.
Night,
all right. Is everybody listening to this? Millennials listening to this?
Right.
Because at age 22, you still need to know your multiplication tables
if
you want to advance in life.
All right, Doc. So I ended up going to Carleton College, which is a perennial top 10 college in the United States.
Very aware of that college.
Yeah,
superior reputation. Yeah,
after graduating from Lim Bloom Technical High School in Chicago, boom, boom.
Oh,
boom,
my goodness.
Swoops, yeah. So I went to Carleton. I majored in economics. While I was there, we didn't have a theater department. I found an African-American theater group there that was a student-run activity, started doing stuff there. And then after I got out of school, I went back to Chicago for a while, worked on a master's, and ended up working in the insurance industry for 35 years. Lord have mercy.
Dang that.
But the first 15 of that, I didn't do any performing. Went through some life changes and decided that I wanted to find an activity that I thought was healthy. And I started doing theater about 25 years ago. And that's what I do now. I left the corporate world in 2012 to kind of venture out. And
so you're full time and
oh yeah. Well, okay. I'm of that certain age where you know somebody is paying me for the stuff I did a while back,
okay.
So I don't have to go to work every day.
And he is not lying, y'all. This was my acting to coach,
that's
teacher,
right.
Whatever you want to call it, at Michigan Actors Studio. So that's why I met this young man. So he had to deal with me being over the top whip, and I'm gonna tell you something about him right quick. He broke me down because I came in there as the big whip dog, this professional wrestler, and he told me, when you're talking about acting and TV and a movie, I know your acting thing as a wrestler is over the top. Turn it down just a notch. Make sure you understand. Would you?
Less is more.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
For real? You just going to do that?
You know what? I'm going to tell you what. He had
straight
it.
Straight up.
He had it. I remember when they had to practice for their showcase. And Whip was engaged. It was St. Patrick's Day.
Oh,
remember that?
I thought you were going to forget that, man.
I forgot. You know what happened? I'm like, where's Whip? Whip was doing an engagement that he does annually.
On St. Patrick's Day.
So you know what he came up to class in? He came in his Scots
kilt.
Mm-hmm. All in class in my kilt.
And got up there and did his thing.
Yes. He had the hairy socks on, too.
Oh, I don't know if you know. I wasn't trying to look at his legs.
the legs was out, though. The legs was out. The legs was out.
All of it was out.
I remember that year.
Yeah.
You say all of it.
So Deborah, I got a question for you.
Yes,
the
sir.
Name of the show, and first of all, guys, I think Keish needs to let them know. This is also our hookup and hang up. So you can call in at 248-579-5260.
Please be respectful.
Yes, very. Now, we have a couple single people here, the three on the left of me. Now, the doc, he's been married for 32 years, so don't try to talk to the doc. Just because he's a doctor and a rapper, you can't get him. But these three...
I can give you advice.
Uh-oh. These three are single, though. So if you want to call in and say what up, though, you definitely have an opportunity.
Not what up, though. You know, that's us.
No, that's the thing. If they fly, it's whatever. That's the thing. We're not trying to age them. Don't you get it? We going to age them. What you want them to say? Howdy
hello.
Or something?
Hello. Hello.
We ain't trying to age. We're not trying to age them.
Hello.
But Deborah,
hello always works.
I did want to touch base with you. The topic of the show was over 50 and fly. And I'd have known you since probably, the day after I got divorced. And you've been an energetic young lady since then. What has made you stay energetic your whole life?
I love life. Life is good. Life is a blessing. People do not understand that. A lot of folks didn't wake up this morning. I'm a cancer survivor.
Mm.
14 years in remission.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Amen.
Okay. Loving you.
And it doesn't cost much to enjoy your life. You can wake up and go outside and take a walk and look up and look at God's great sky and just have a good time with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love yourself and be good with yourself in order to bring things to other people. So I like life. I like people. I love having a good time. I love to travel. Me and Keisha did our up north thing. We was climbing mountains, climbing hills, and it was.
Yes. I felt like American Ninja Warrior when we were there.
We did, Sleeping Bear Dunes,
mm-hmm.
and we kept going. I'm like, Keisha, I don't think I can make it. She said, well, I'm going. I said, I'm going to. So we did. We went all the way up there, and I mean, you just enjoy life. Life is here for a reason. Why not?
Okay. Doc, you talked earlier in the green room about what she just stated, living life. What do you have to say? You had a quote to me earlier. Well, go ahead if you can repeat that on air.
Teenage love, baby. You got to keep the teenage love. If you want to have a full life, you got to keep loving. And so what I tell my wife all the time, we go into Applebee's, and I crack her up because she married a fool. Okay.
Are you serious? I can't tell.
No. So the waitress comes over and says, look, I just had to talk to y'all because y'all are cracking up so hard. How do you do it? I'll tell you how. Teenage love. That love that you had as a teenager, you got to maintain that. You got to be funny. You got to be silly. You got to do the same things that you did when you were a teenager and in your 20s, and you got to maintain that. You got to look at that woman or look at that man and make them laugh. You got to stop being crotchety. I'm old, my arthritis or whatever. Just go out there and do it. So, me, I'm going to live to be 100. I'm going to have fun. Right. I'm going to be silly. I'm going to crack up.
Hold up, Doc. I got to jump in with that. I want to make sure they got the ovation for that. Go ahead,
right,
Doc.
Right.
Get them.
No, I mean, that's the bottom line. Have fun. Be funny. Be silly. And maintain teenage love. And that's what I do. Look at me. I got all my hair. Look at me, I'm almost 70 and I'm trying to be a rapper.
Oh, hold that thought. We're going to talk about that too. Trust me.
Hold on. You say you're trying to be. I heard some of your work.
I am a rapper. Okay. All right. But I have not taken it seriously. It has been a hobby and I want the world to know that I would like to do this. I would like the world to say, okay, 67 and a half year old man, we will allow you to be a rapper. Because, see, I can make good songs, but people are going to say, oh, grandpa, what the hell is he doing? They're going to laugh at me. My family says, oh, this is so degrading. You're a neurosurgeon.
Doc.
But what they don't understand is I'm going to have fun at this, and I'm going to live to be 105.
Man, you better talk your ish. We usually wait to the end of the show with that. But Doc, I got to ask you. By being a surgeon, what do your peers think about you wanting to be a doctor, man?
They don't know. And I know that I have jealousy completely surrounding me, because every time I get ridicule for what I'm doing, I just stroke the top of my head.
Mm.
Okay, and I show them, well, look, you know, you're a bald MF. Okay, put me, I still got all my hair, and the babes still love me.
Ooh, you better talk.
Okay. Finger snaps.
Right.
All right. So I have a question for YP.
Yes.
So given your background in, you know, financial advising, what is one of the biggest pieces of advice you can give to people of my age or younger as far as financial wealth?
Start off with, if your company has the 401k, which is the basics, then you want to take the time. Because people that have 401ks don't know you're paying for those people to run your money. Call and ask them every question you can think of. Write that down. Then go to websites or go to companies that will allow you to open up the accounts. And they give you free classes. TD Ameritrade gives you free classes. Mm. You go to a seminar in March and learn. One thing that I always tell my children is you really go to school to learn how to socialize, because you can learn at a library. But if you don't ask questions,
say what?
And if you don't go out and research, the answer is not going to come to you. And if you don't start a research, you never find out the questions that you need to ask.
Mm.
So I say this, my kids, you know, when they started getting jobs, my thing was, you didn't have a paycheck yesterday. So when you get that paycheck, what is it going to cost you to put $20, $25 away for an emergency or a rainy day or whatever in a savings account? Because you didn't have it yesterday, and now you have $100. Put $25 away.
Right.
Mm.
And as they progress and they want to start their own businesses, they're starting to see what I'm talking about. And, you know, kids don't listen. And now they're starting to, so what stock should I get into, Mom? What's that account that you have open? And I started them out with stock accounts years ago. Start putting money into those stock accounts again. So those kind of things. If you can go out and spend $15, $20 at Popeye's Chicken every other day.
Don't hate.
Hey, seriously.
Chicken sandwich is slapping.
Seriously, take that five piece and make it last for 2 days, and that second day you were going to go buy that five-piece, go drop it in the M1 finance account. Because every $10, they will automatically invest for you in the stocks that you select.
So, YP, do you help out if people have any questions about that type of thing?
I will give – I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not licensed. So I can direct people to where they need to go for answers.
If they want to contact you, how can they do that?
They can reach out to me via Facebook, YP Perry. They can reach me on the singles.
Dating in Detroit.
Dating in Detroit. Thank you. They can inbox me, but you know what? The inbox is kind of really funky. Or they can email me at yp243business@gmail.com. That's yp243business@gmail.com. In the subject line, put financial questions.
Okay. Okay.
TD Ameritrade is my broker.
Ooh. I'm with TD Ameritrade and Fidelity. And Fidelity will also give you free classes.
Okay. Now, Lynch, I'm going to talk to you for a second. Purple Rose Theater.
All right.
Detroit Repertory Theater.
Yes, sir.
Lynch, you've been doing your thing in the acting game for a while. I've seen you with a couple plays and a couple projects. You have worked with people of all ages. You've directed people of all ages. Do you find better talent at the millennial stage or the 50 plus stage? What do you find better talent?
Well, I think talent is talent.
I'm also a sports nut, and I listen to managers that talk about the age of the player don't have nothing to do with it.
Mm.
It's what you do when you get there.
Say that one more time. What about the age?
It's what the age don't. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's how you approach the work. I have young actors that come in. They prepare. They do their homework. They listen. They try. You know, they give their effort. You know, that kind of thing. And the same thing with older actors, you know, that kind of thing. Now, sometimes you have to coach up younger people because they just don't have the experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and experience is just a product of time. Just keep living
mm-hmm.
and you'll get it. But one of the reasons that I do what I do is that Doc talked about teenage love. I love working with younger people because they bring that energy and they bring that desire, and they haven't been taught or a process to know that they'll fail, you know, because life is a process of getting up and getting down. You know, you take the knocks, you know, and in our business, and you know, from doing the audition thing,
yes,
they're going to say no,
man. What?
And they're going to say no again. And
say
again,
what?
So you mentioned the Purple Rose Theater. When I first came out, when I started working as an actor here, see, I didn't come out of the academy here. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't come out of the circles. I didn't come through the ranks and stuff. And I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to go out to Chelsea and audition for Jeff Daniels. You know, I found out later that they don't hire black actors out there.
I'm glad you said that.
So when I went out there, they was like, man, we glad to see you because, man, nobody ever come out here.
Lynch.
We got scripts. We got stuff that we want to do.
Wow.
And so the opportunity is there. Right. You know, the Detroit Rep Theater, it's been there for 63 years.
Yes.
Right on Woodrow Wilson and Davison.
Say it again in case they didn't hear you.
Right on Woodrow Wilson and Davison.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a Detroit gem. And people have overlooked that place. I don't know why. These people have told them, y'all should have went downtown a long time ago. How come y'all didn't get none of them built? You know, Dan Gilbert's doing this, Dan Gilbert's doing that, you know, that kind of thing. They're like, hey, we've been here for 63 years. How many nonprofit organizations in the performance business go 5 years, 10 years, 15
exactly,
years?
Exactly, real.
Because they said, this is what we're doing. And we're going to show up during the season every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we're going to do a show.
You just talked about breaking that barrier. The Jewish Ensemble.
Yes, sir.
Lynch Travis is part of – come talk about that, man.
I'm a board member at the Jewish Ensemble Theater.
Because I knew you were Jewish when I met you.
Yeah. That too. And that came about, again, through relationships. The very first show I did in Detroit was community theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was really bad. The director, it was his first gig. He had just graduated from UAD Mercy with his master's. And I didn't know, you know, because I was just starting out. And come to find out, his mom and dad were the preeminent actor and director couple in southeastern Michigan at the time. Mm. So now Chris is the artistic director at the Jewish Ensemble Theater. So there we go. We started off doing this little kid show in the rec room in Southfield. And now he's running a joint over there. He's not Jewish either.
Okay.
But he asked me a couple of years ago, he said, look, one of the things that our board needs is we need infusion from the artistic community, a point of view. You know, people are pretty familiar with what they do. They're not familiar with what you do. And like you said, I work all over the place. You know, I didn't know no better. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to go to these places. So I did. I ended up getting work. I ended up having relationships all over. You know, there's only a couple of theaters left, professional union theaters that I haven't worked at in this state. And that's going to happen. And one of the reasons it hadn't happened is because I was doing something else. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went and did that thing. So I have a perspective about theater that's unique in terms of the fact that I have been working in all these different places and working and seeing how people do things differently, how people do things alike, you know, and celebrating that and rejoicing that and bringing that to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough to collect my Social Security. And I'm still one of the youngest board members at the Jewish Ensemble Theater. And then they hired me to direct a couple of things over there. I'll be back there. Check this out. I'm gonna be meeting with the artistic director tomorrow to talk about directing.
Okay.
Hold it. Hold the phone.
We hold it. So anxious.
Always Patsy Cline.
Oh, really?
What?
Really?
They gonna bring a brother in
to bring the old
to bring up this man.
What?
You know why? because I'm unapologetically black.
Woo.
Okay.
As am I.
But I can direct anything.
Amen.
Right, right.
And yeah, and it's about telling a story. I'm gonna tell this lady's story. And whoever we cast and whoever we have as the music director, the three of us going to collaborate with them set designers and all that. We're going to do this story.
It's going to be the best.
Now, if somebody wanted to be part of your projects, how could they do that?
Okay, well, what I tell young folks to do and old folks too, because, you know, most when we do our directing, our actors workshop at the Detroit Rep, our average age is a 44-year-old African-American female.
Mm.
But what I tell them is to go to the websites – That involve acting, EncoreMichigan.org, mm-hmm. whatever it is, .com.
Actors Access.
All those things where they have audition notices.
Okay.
Take classes.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to take classes? Not so much because we might teach you something that you don't know if you have experience or whatever, but because you start networking.
Networking is the word.
Yeah, people start telling you where to go. Hey, man, I know they getting ready to do – I went to a class, and next thing I know, two of the people that I didn't even know them. They asked me to direct. That's how I started my directing career.
Wow.
I ended up directing 10 plays for that company.
Wow. Mm.
And I got to add this note too. 9 of them were authored by white authors before I ever directed a play that was authored by an African American writer. So they let me get my chops doing it. It's like, hey man, we think you're a good director. You know, now I'm in that point, you know, once you do the thing too, once I direct the fences or I directed this, that, or the other, I have to kind of push people back a little bit because every time they get a play by one of us, can you direct that? You know, so my thing now, like Doc said, my thing now is passing it on. It's some young folk, and that's all a relative term, right, that are ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be here forever. 100, yeah, I hope so. My mama did 94.
See, okay.
Wow, so, yeah.
You got a chance.
Hey, so I'm on the same diet she on, Doc. But bottom line is this. There are very talented African-American theater practitioners out here.
Okay.
And we need to change that scene. Y'all seen the Oscars. You saw the Tonys and all that stuff. And you see how we get represented. We have to, like, go above and beyond to just get nominated.
Yeah.
But getting that doesn't better. Mean – But that doesn't mean that the talent's not there.
For sure.
And I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, Lynch, it's so hard. I said, okay, well, I did a show about 20 years ago with a guy named Keegan-Michael Key at the Detroit Repertory Theater.
Yes, very popular young man.
Very popular young man. Look what happened to him.
Amen.
I can name you a half dozen folk from Detroit that's out there making a living.
Mm-hmm.
They might not ever be – on a big time, but I'm telling you, they driving cars and they living in California, and you got to do something to do that, right?
Well, Doc, I want to talk to you about something real quick. You had a party back in the day, man, and that kind of started your career. If you don't mind talking about that party right quick, could you give me a little bit about that?
I was the first young people that moved to Hollis, Queens in 1960. There were no teenagers in Hollis, Queens. This was, you know, I'll say it, white flight, and black people were moving into that neighborhood, and ultimately it became a completely developed black neighborhood with the churches, with the stores, with the kids. So in 1968, this was the first group of teenagers, black teenagers in Hollis, Queens, and I threw a party. 150 people showed up. All the mothers were there being chaperones, etc. It was dope. But in fact, it was the first house party, large house party in Hollis, Queens. Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud was the number one song at the time, and we must have played it 15 times at that party. But everybody left that party saying, oh my God, this is a new phenomenon. So what happened in 1968 in Hollis, Queens is that there was a competition for who could do the best house party. So for the next 10 years, every Friday, every Saturday, it was like, who was doing the house party that night? Is it going to be better than Suave's or is it going to be better than the last one? So 1974 comes around and it's my sister's turn. She's 16 and she decides she's going to throw a party. We were moving out of that home. We were leaving New York. Empty house, 3-story house. Uh-oh. Okay, you can have your house party, Gail. Only 30 people. She told 30. They told 30. They told 30, et cetera, et cetera. And so Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn and Queens knew about this house party that was going to be thrown at 196th Street and 110th Avenue in Hollis, Queens. Now, it's a three-story house, and, you know, people show up to house parties at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Now, it's 8:30. You know, and it's back in the day where we got this little record player, there's no big noise, and we had this full basement in a three-story house. My mother went up to the attic, closed the door, have your party. Filled up the basement. Filled up the first floor. Filled up the second floor, and it's only 8:45 at night, and we got 500 people in this house. Now, my mother hears the commotion. She didn't hear the music, but she hears all these people on the second floor and opens up the attic door and looks down and sees hundreds of people on the second floor of her house that she has sold, that she has already waxed these floors, and there's all these Negroes in her house.
Doc, what you doing,
they
baby?
They filled up the second floor. They filled up the first floor. They filled up the basement, and now they're working their way up to the attic, and it's only 8:45 at night with 500 people. What did she say? Get out my house. Party's over, but people don't get there till 10, 11 o'clock. So by about midnight, there's 1,500 to 2,000 people that showed up from every part of New York City for this house party. The police were there. The neighbors were like, what the heck is going on? We got thousands of people who showed up for a house party.
Partying, or were they just there?
No, they were just there because the neighbors called them. What are all right. these Negroes doing in the neighborhood on this Friday or Saturday night? Stayed there till 3:30 a.m. It had to be the biggest house. But see, the whole deal is, I didn't think much of it, but I told this story here in Detroit. And they said, Russell Simmons lived 8 blocks from me, the Simmons brothers. Run DMC lived a block and a half from me. LL Cool J lived 6 blocks from me. The Fat Boys were right down the same street. Tribe Called Quest was just next
door.
To
all you hip hop people listening, do you hear you hearing history right now?
Let me tell
now.
You what
history.
Detroit pointed out to me is that, do you know the significance of that party and who was probably in that crowd? First kisses, first loves, marriages came out of that party. The Simmons brothers were probably right in that crowd with LL Cool J and all the rappers from the entire of New York City in 1974 who were up and coming and going to become were probably at that party. There's so many backstories from that one party. So I'm telling y'all, all y'all people from New York, 1974, you know about that party in Hollis, Queens. We want to hear your stories.
Knock, 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 knock.
We want to hear
hold
your
on,
stories
on,
because I didn't become recognize the right. significance of it till I came to the deep.
Hold up, hold up, hold up. Now, Doc, you've been giving us all this history, and we know that you suave brain, but I'm just saying, can we get a couple bars live? How you feel? Can I get a couple?
Well, you know, I just, oh my goodness. Well, you, so you got some music for me?
Now, before I get started, understand, we don't have a lot of money. So I had to get these beats. They like Casio old keyboard beats. So, but you know,
you
what
know,
I'm
kind of
put
me on the spot, and I got a rep.
But you ready?
Here.
You ready?
I just had an extraction of a tooth, but I will try.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, I'm going to drop it. Don't laugh at the beat.
Yo, it's all about my flow. Sell out shows. This is how it go. Got that fluid flow. What's all this other noise?
That's the phone ringing. Hold on. Let me get the caller. Hello, is there a caller on the phone?
That's the
Tex, Chaney, what's going on? That's our other guest. Tex, hold on for 1 second. Doc about to drop this beat. So okay. Hold on with us for a second, Doc. Doc, I wanted you to drop this beat before I talk to Tex. Let's go. There you go. We're going to bring it back. Run it back.
You can do it. Come on. I got you. He's there.
Yo, got that flow. I sell out shows. I wear life clothes. I pluck them hoes. Everybody know that extraordinary dough. You know, you put me on the spot.
I'm sorry, Doc.
You know,
I'm
so
sorry,
why you got to do that? Now, see, you're ruining my reputation.
I'm feeling it.
Yo, my name's...
Did a beat dropped, okay.
I'm feeling you know what?
Come on, I'm feeling the music director
is fired.
I'm sorry.
It was a little bit on the high BPM.
I know the beat was terrible.
For really a freestyle. You had it really
I'm sorry.
Okay, but that's all right.
We're going to come back and you're going to go on acapella right quick. But I want to say right quick, hello.
Hello.
To another guest that we have on, calling all the way from, well, matter of fact, I'm going to just let you introduce yourself. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. If everybody's doing all right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the Over 50 and Fly episode of UE Talk.
All right, well, I'll start off like this. Woo! This is Texas King. I've been a professional wrestler for a little over a decade, and I'm moving my way into acting, and that's kind of where Steve Jordan had told me about the show. So yes. We're starting to try to fertilize myself out there in the public and let everybody see a little bit more of me instead of just wrestling.
Okay. Now, where are you from, Texas?
I'm from North Carolina.
So, hold up, dog. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, man.
He was expecting you to say like that. Right.
You're from Texas, from North Carolina.
You Texas Cheney, pro wrestler from North Carolina. Okay.
Houston.
Yeah, I know everybody gets it. Everybody loves that. It actually sounds like it's bullshit, doesn't it? But that is true. And the name came from Houston, Texas. My grandfather named my dad that. My dad named me that. So that is true. My name really is Texas, and I'm really from North Carolina. My dad used to always tell people I never could get it when I was a kid, but everybody would be like, why did your mom name you Texas? He said, my mom had a bum steer.
Hey, Tex, how old are you, man?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I just turned 50.
Oh, man. Okay, I see. So you said you was a
but I'm not too. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I look good for my age. I take really good care of myself.
Man, listen, I saw the pictures online. You got a heck of a body, and you still doing your thing, your man. Your body, you got a pro wrestler body. What type of regimen do you
have? Thank you. Well, it's really tough, man. I tell you, I started really young. I was always, like, getting into the weights, you know, when I was, like, 8 years old. I mean, true story be told. I remember when I was growing up, my mom and dad, you know, we didn't have much. But I remember my mom had this broken mop head, but the full length of the wooden dowel was always leaning against the back porch. And it was right near a pile of bricks my dad had. You know how you see bricks? It's got the three little holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, light went off. I got on my mom's lounge chair. I took the dowel. I put a couple bricks on each end. I had me a weight bench, but it was a brick bench. And that's really how I started lifting. And, by that time, I mean, Conan the Barbarian was coming out. So I was really digging Arnold's, you know,
physique.
So I was really old school. I was lifting bricks, you know.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. Okay, so Mr.
But nowadays, I go 4 or 5 days a week. I go to the gym, spend 2 hours. I put about 45 minutes on a muscle part. Yeah, there's a lot of people that still go to the gym that just they're not doing it right. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Right. Okay, so Mr. Cheney, I have a question for you. What is the toughest match that you ever had? Like, who was your toughest challenger? Yeah.
Probably my first one. It was a handy. The rest of them got a lot easier, but really, the first one was my worst one. I remember I was nervous. I was getting ready to go through the curtain. I was just so nervous. And it was a handicap match. And I was working. That means I'm working two guys and they're working me. And I was wrestling Michael Mosley and superstar Daryl Kelly. And I remember, I would never forget, they were just beating me up, you know. And both of them were really, you know, hyperactive wrestlers. So they were really putting it to me. And I remember they both put me in a double suplex, and I didn't put my. You know, you got to learn how to wrestle. You got to learn how.
Don't give them all the secrets, man.
Of course,
we already know.
I'm still a month or two in the business, and so I take my fall off the suplex, and I didn't have my chin tucked into my chest properly, so I hit my head, and man, I'm seeing. I'm laid on the mat, you know, boom. I take the suplex, and I'm looking up at the sky or up at the arena ceiling. And I'm seeing all these stars. I'm like, shit with this, man. I quit. I ain't doing this no more. but, But that's not how I just kept, and I made $5. That was my first pay. I should have kept
bringing. You made $5 on your first match? You made more than me, dog.
$5, yep. Dude, so I felt rich. But, you know, it was the thought, you know, you had to earn your dues.
Yes, sir.
Like Ric Flair, he's got stories. He would drive from New York to California and make $50. That's just how that business was years ago. Now you got
that Ric Flair drip?
Well, Tex, real quick, man, because we got to go ahead and move forward. Thank you for the call. But I got one quick question. You said you're from North Carolina. Would you come up to the Michigan area for an acting gig? Because we got some heavy hitters up here in the Michigan area that might be able to help you out in the acting world.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I've got, as long as it's my agent is actually in the state of Texas. And
okay.
I'm exclusive in Texas, but I can go anywhere I want to and free agent myself. But yes. I love the Michigan area. I go up north, you know, quite regularly. But okay. Yeah, if you got somebody that's interested,
okay,
you know, have them give me a call. I'll shoot them a headshot, resume, whatever they need. Yeah, I can do just about anything.
And what's your contact information?
My phone number, of course, is 910. That's our area code here.
Lord have mercy.
It's always something, isn't it?
Right. Go ahead.
All right. So 910-617. I've got a couple numbers. I got to make sure I give the right number out.
I get it. I can take a time text.
Right. The Google voice number. Right.
But right. Still, do you have that Ric Flair drip? Tell me you got the Ric Flair drip.
Oh, of course.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Well, this, you know what, this number that I'm calling you from, the 297, I'm having such a hard time. Let me give you the rest of the information. The website is www.texaschaney.com. Okay. That is my website. It has everything on it. That's
okay, we're going to make sure we put that up on our Urban Embodiment Facebook and Instagram page. Tex, thank you for the call, sir. And me and you will talk later, okay?
Okay, you got it, guys. It was good talking to everybody.
All right, take care.
Okay, you too, guys.
We're not going to close out yet because you still got something for me, right? But hold that thought.
Put me on the spot. Oh, my God. I hope I don't hurt
myself. You got
myself.
This. I'm keeping
Deborah, going. Before we close out, we got 5 minutes left, but I want to talk to you real quick, too.
Oh, okay.
You said you like to travel.
I do.
Where do you like to go, girl?
Wherever I want to.
Was it Philadelphia? You went to a football game? Where was it?
Oh, well, on my bucket list, I am an avid football fan.
Mm.
So on my bucket list, I'm going to hit every stadium, you know, and the NFL. So I got 10 under my belt. I got 18 more to go. Well, now I got the new Raiders stadium. Go Raiders. I'm a Raiders fan that I got to get to. So, yeah, I've done Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh.
Huh.
And I just like to go to this every September. I do a mother son trip, me and my boys.
Okay.
And we do football.
When's your birthday?
Mine is February 5th.
But what do you do every year in January for a certain event? What do you do? What do you do every February?
I have a Super Bowl birthday party.
Y'all heard that? is our podcast Detroit fans invited next year to your Super Bowl party?
Definitely.
All right, I mean, y'all heard that?
I turned sensational 60.
Woo!
February.
Woo!
You know,
Deborah, if they want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
dbsdet@gmail.com,
and
or you can call DB Security Incorporated at 313-862-7858.
Are you hiring right now?
I am hiring part time.
Okay, we'll get that information for you, and we'll put up on our page as well.
Okay.
YP,
yes.
Before we close out. You too. I ain't going to talk about your other life, because, you know, I know, we ain't going to talk about your other life.
Right.
We're going to keep that quiet. We're going to keep your other life quiet.
Right.
But YP, last and not least, why should people... But YP, you know, like I said, I've known you since probably day one of our Singles Date in Detroit group, and that's on Facebook, so you guys can join it, Singles Date in Detroit. But how have you stayed so energetic for so many years?
The running joke in my house is I can't stand kids. I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have kids. But I am probably the biggest kid you ever want to meet. I love the summer. And the biggest joke in our house is I come home with two big buckets of chalk and all the kids in the neighborhood, and there's not so many now, but now I've got grandkids and other kids. We do chalk body outline drawings, and my kids have stopped traffic. Who died? What? But I am probably the biggest kid. You know, when my kids were coming up, you know, they did football, marching band. I marched 8 miles one way and then went, oh, hell, my car is way in the other direction. I love the young people because they have so much to learn. I don't have a problem correcting them, but there's a way that you have to approach them.
Exactly.
And because I am probably one of the biggest kids you ever want to meet, they're very receptive to me.
Because you approach them on their level.
Because
you're a big kid just like them. And that's exactly what they need. That is exactly, you want to get to young people and affect them positively.
Yep.
Get down. Don't talk down. Get down with them.
That's a good line right there. I like
and
that.
Bring them up to your level.
And bring them up to your level. That's how you do it.
And I have very straightforward conversations with my children. There's nothing that, no subject that's taboo. Shut up, Deshaun. There's no subject that's taboo. But I say that to say, I have three children, and I promise you, I probably have 100 because of them.
Exactly.
And so when they walk through my door, they know that they belong to me.
Okay.
And their parents know, if you don't want me to correct your child, don't bring your child over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's just, it's a village. And fortunately, most of my friends I've known.
They send them to me.
Most of my friends I've had for 42 years or better. Okay. I would say 90% of my friends.
Okay.
And so we've raised the village, and that's just what it's become.
That's what it's all about.
Lance Travis, before we close out, one, I want you to talk about what you got coming up. But also, I hadn't touched on this because we're not here to trash them. But one word, millennials. What does that word mean to you?
Well, let's go. I got two of them, I guess. I don't even know how you define them. But you know what? I have my two children are fine human beings. They're educated. My oldest is a lawyer. She represents children. My son is a manager for a rental car agency. He works. His wife is like, dude, would you please come home?
Mm.
You know, they get it. You know.
Yeah.
And they get it because they want to get it. You know, and I always try to be a father to them, like my dad was with me. And I think that's really important. I always respected their mother. We haven't been together for a long time.
Okay.
But we are really good friends now. So I tried to manage that, you know, make sure that they understood that there had to be some balance here. You know, that's your mom. I'm your dad. You know, we're not together, but we are together with y'all.
Yeah.
So they get it. So the big joy that I have today is my youngest, my son, who's my youngest is 29, just had a baby.
Congratulations.
She's 7 months old. And guess who provides childcare for her 2 days a week?
Oh, my goodness.
That would be me.
Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
We already got her doing her vocal warm-ups and stuff.
The best times of your life. Isn't that correct?
Liz, yes, what you got coming up right quick?
Okay, well, I'm going to be directing Always Patsy Cline at the Jewish Ensemble Theater coming this April. This May, I'll be directing a new play that features the topic of autism, A Life on the Moon at the Detroit Repertory Theater. March 28th, we'll be registering people in the Detroit area for our Detroit Actors Workshop.
Okay.
It's only $185. And if you don't have $185 and you can show us that, we'll give you a scholarship that runs for 10 weeks. It's taught by 5 professional actors.
Wow.
We don't mess around. 4 hours on Saturday. And the culminating event on the 10th week, you'll be able to showcase your work on the stage of the Detroit Repertory Theater if you're ready.
Cool. We're going to get that information. We'll post it up as well on the Urban Embodiment page, all right?
All right. Check me out at lynchtravis.com.
Okay. Doc, 60 seconds.
Oh,
close. Really? You can. I'm going to let you choose what you do with your last 60 seconds as we close out the show.
You know, this is what I would do with my last 60 seconds. I would say that, are you familiar with this cipher that 175 has?
Yeah.
You want to know what they did at the cipher?
What they do at the cipher?
They gave them the beats ahead of time.
Oh, no,
you can't
sorry.
Just put me on this. Now,
I'm sorry,
that one Instagram that you saw, I didn't know anything about that.
I get it.
And I just murdered it. But you gave me a beat that had to be 140 beats per minute. I never heard it before, and I got tongue twisted from the beginning.
You
don't need me to do anything right now. I've already set my reputation.
For sure.
I am a writer. I haven't spit in years until tonight. Okay, I haven't even performed in years till tonight. So I'm not going to harm my reputation.
I get you.
I'm not going to accidentally cuss. I would just say this. Stay young. Be happy. Be funny. Teenage love. You want to live long? You want to have good health? Have fun. Laugh. Okay? Don't be crotchety and get older. Teenage love is a real thing that you had when you were a teenager, but you lost it as you got older. Get it back.
Doc, real quick, and how can I get a hold of you? Because I know you windsurf, you do everything. How can I get a hold of you if you want to follow you on Instagram and different things?
At Suave Brain on Instagram. Suave like the shampoo, S-U-A-V-E. Brain like the one in your head, all one word. Please, I need followers.
I get it. Keith, let them know we got coming up.
All right, this Saturday, Find a Bay Speed Dating in Oklahoma, Michigan. That's 4926 Marsh Road. Tickets for ladies is $20, and tickets for guys is $15. And that includes a complimentary drink.
All right.
Everybody vote. Make sure you vote.
Yes. What's the date? So they know?
March 10th.
March 10th. I like that in St. Quits right there. Guys, thank you very much for coming in. And one final thing before we close out. She's in the green room. It is my mother's birthday. Could everybody say happy birthday to my mother?
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Y'all know what it is. We are here each and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So make sure you come back for Urban Embodiment Presents UE Talk next Tuesday on Podcast Detroit. I am Deshaun Whipdog Whipple.